guys, and welcome back to Fashion Fandom, where we cover the Divergent series by Veronica Roth. I'm your host, Sheree.
And I'm Stephanie.
So, Stephanie, how are we doing today?
Today is a good day.
Yeah.
It's been a great morning so far. How about you? How was your morning?
Perfect. I woke up late. I took a shower late. I ate lunch late. Everything was late. It was one of those lazy mornings. I read a couple of pages in the book. It was great.
That's fun. What book are you reading?
I just started Just Listen by Sarah Dessen. It was recommended to me by a friend.
I've heard great things about Sarah Dessen. You be sure and let me know how you like her. Today we have a lot of really good stuff going on. It's going to be a really packed episode, Sheree. There's lots of news. There's lots of chapters to cover. We've got a fun little game that you have planned. I have no clue what's going on with that. And then we're going to talk about some theories on Allegiant, because there's only so much time before it comes out, and we want to get our suspicions and our bets out there. You can rob me of all of the quarters that I own. And then finally, we're going to close with book rec. But first, let's go ahead and get started with the news.
So the trailer came out on the VMAs. We announced it coming out last time, even though we posted it after it came out. Now it is out. What did you think of the trailer? Did you see it?
I did see it. I watched it that Sunday night. The trailer was great. I really enjoyed it. Theo and Charlene looked great together, and there was lots of good stuff happening. I made the mistake of watching the whole VMAs. Yeah, it came out in the pre-show. I didn't even have to watch the whole show, but I did. And for all of you listeners who watched the show with us, God bless you. Your eyes probably burn as much as mine did. And that's all I'm going to talk about that. But no, it was great. The trailer, the movie obviously is going to come out March 21st. It's directed by Neil Berger with writers Evan Daughtry and Vanessa Taylor, obviously along with Miss Veronica Roth. And then we also have our starring cast with Shailene Woodley, Theo James, and Kate Winslet. There's a lot of really great cast members on there, but those are our, you know, our big name characters throughout the series. Do you know what my favorite part about the cast is, Sheree? My favorite part, now, you know my favorite character is Christina, and her father actually plays Senna in The Hunger Games. So I'm super excited about their whole business as a family. They've got my two thumbs up.
Do you think he'll keep the gold eyeliner?
Maybe. So you saw the trailer.
I love Cole. Man, he's the greatest character in the book, him and Uriah, but... Man, so when, like, he was cast, I've never seen him in anything, and I was really worried, but I saw him in the preview, and I have to say, Stephanie, I love Theo, and I love his jawline, and I love everything about him. Pretty jawline.
I'm glad they've got your stamp of approval. They will be happy to know that.
I'm sure.
He's a very high, incredible person.
Their most important thing they have on their mind is to please me. I'm
They do. I mean, right up there with the other high critics and Rotten Tomatoes, Sheree's review. So from what you've seen in the trailer, what are you most looking forward to seeing in the movie now?
Okay, well, it's not a scene, but it's a thing, and it's my favorite thing, and it's the sexual tension between Chris and four. I hope they capture it, because the book is totally there. It's a driving factor. You gotta love that stuff.
Oh my gosh. I'm still cracking up over that. That's definitely prominent. You and lots of other people. You know, you're only saying what everyone else is thinking.
Oh, yeah. Sexual tension is everybody's favorite thing. Don't lie to me. What's your favorite scene? You think, what's your favorite scene you're most looking forward to?
I am, well, from seeing the trailer, I'm super excited to see Forrest tattoos. Ooh, mighty. Those were great to watch. I watched the trailer again and again. I'm not going to lie, Sheree. I probably paused it a couple of times just to stare at the tattoos.
You are the demographic that they're shooting for. I hope you know that.
Great. This guy, you're doing a good job.
We're going to take your shirt off, and the girls will just swoon. And look at you here, Steph. You are swooning.
I swooned. I did. I wasn't prepared to. I was thinking, oh, Theo James, he's a pretty face. He'll do a great four, until I saw the trailer, and man, they've got me. It got me hooked. But, you know, I'm actually looking forward to a scene, and I really don't think they're going to put it in the movie. Now, you love Uriah. I love Uriah, too. He's one of my favorite characters as well. But one of my favorite scenes from the book is when they pull Triss aside, one of the other initiates gets stabbed and Triss has to clean up all of the blood and she's having this really sorrow mourning and everyone's very somber. And she's walking down the hallway and she sees Uriah and he's like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, I'm depressed. And he's like, well, come with us. We're going to shoot a muffin off Marlene's head. And it's a super just kind of a random funny moment for them. But, you know, as far as I've seen, they don't have a lot of script for Uriah in this movie. I mean, I did a little bit of research on it, and I didn't see many lines for him. And so, one, I don't think the scene will be in there. And two, I'm kind of mad because he's an awesome character, and they just are not going to...
I'm sure they're going to put him in there because somebody's going to have to be comic relief because it's such like a serious movie, and you have to have...
Her friends have a lot of comic relief in it, though.
Yeah.
They may choose to introduce him a lot more in the second movie.
Probably.
Because he plays a lot more of a role in that.
The Hunger Games, they completely cut Madge out.
They did, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
He's not introduced in the entire series. I'm gonna be thoroughly pissed. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I will be. I'll be very mad.
Okay, so Entertainment Weekly released a quote from the new Allegiant book. It's from Chapter 7, and it says, "We don't know what's out there since they put us in here, or how many generations have lived and died since they did. We could be the last people left." And that's said by Triss. What do you think about that? I think it's a perfect quote.
I think it definitely gives us the premise of what the third book is about. It's about them finding out what happens outside the fence, you know, because that's where we were left hanging in the second book.
Yeah.
Fans are worried about is what's going to happen. I think it's a great quote to keep us strong until the book comes out.
Kind of like its own cliffhanger. It's the hook, line, and sinker, you know? They're like, okay, well, they got us now.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, I don't know. Do you think they will release more quotes like that?
Well, I don't think they need to. I think that's going to be the quote they need to get people hooked in. I think the fan base is big enough with the movie coming out.
Well, there will be another 2 months before the book comes out. I don't know. I suspect that maybe they will put another quote out there for September. Right after they released the trailer, they also released a behind-the-scenes video where the cast and Veronica Roth talk about the factions and sort of, it's more candid. It has them in a more natural setting talking about what they think about the movie, and it's them explaining the movie. I absolutely love videos like this. I love it where the cast shows an interest and understanding in the book that they are trying to adapt. I think it's great that they did that. It makes me a lot more confident that the people making the movie know what they're doing.
And that they like what they're doing.
Yeah, they're excited about it. We put a link up on the website, so you can go check that out if you haven't seen it yet. It's been almost a week since the transfer came out.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But I didn't read it until just last night, actually, Sheree. I'm not going to lie. It's been a busy week. But for those people who are like me, it gives you more time to check it out. That's okay. We still have a lot of great stuff to talk about this time around. Just a quick note, USA Today also put out an article. They gave her the Cool Fall Author Award. They said that Veronica Roth is one of the biggest names in the book world, and at age 25, she's about to get even bigger. And I think that's really cool that they are giving her some recognition for that. You know, it's not like a real formal award or anything, but outside of the book world, she's fairly new for the media to get a hold of. I think it's great that they're giving her some credit.
And I just think that this is the beginning of awards she's going to get, because it's such a well-written book, and the concept's so cool, living dauntless, making decisions without fear, and I love it all, and I think she's going to get tons more awards after this. I just think, since the trailer was just released, it's about to get bigger, and people start reading it more, and she'll be more recognized. I think she really deserves it, too.
Yeah, I'm very excited for her. They have some really cool stuff. I like one of the questions they ask her in the interview is, why didn't you want to do a love triangle? And it's kind of cool because there's so many love triangles in the YA genre, and we get kind of sick and tired of them after a while. And she didn't do it. She says that she thinks it's more important that you understand the relationship as it grows. And she really wanted to focus more on seeing the trials and the conflicts between the relationship of four interests. And that's what she was going for rather than a love triangle. And I think that's kind of noble of her to stick to that.
Oh, definitely. So on to other books. The Fault in Our Stars is being made into a movie and film. And The Fault in Our Stars is written by John Green. He's a great author. If you haven't read any of his books, pick up any one of them. They're all amazing, although I have to say The Fault in Our Stars.
It's my favorite.
It's such a good book.
It is great.
Filming started on August 26th. It also stars Shailene Woodley and the actor who plays Caleb.
Ansel Elgort.
Ansel. Elgort.
Kind of cool. Kind of different. They are going to switch the roles up. No more brother and sister. It's time to be...
lovers.
Soulmates or whatever you want to call them. But it's a great story. And they work really well together. Did you see the footage that John Green put up on Vlogbrothers about them?
No, I only see what he's put up on Instagram, which is different, and it's not the same.
You might check out it's on Tumblr too. It's a very cute little video of him, you know, doing their weekly videos, and he's trying not to show every angle he has on the camera is faced outward.
Yeah.
And because he can't show the cast and he can't reveal where they are. But he shows them, like, he either shows them on the grass, like, on the ground, or he shows, like, the middle of the sky. He's got these weird camera angles going, trying to record his video.
See the gifs on Tumblr. They were really funny.
It's so cute. But, yeah, Shailene and Ansel look great together. But that is our news for today, right? So, moving on, Shuri, to chapter by chapter. What chapters are we doing?
Chapters 4 through 8 today. We were going to do 4 through 9. We had to shorten one of them out because it's getting too long. We will cover 9 through
13.
We're going to cover 9 through 13 next time.
Because that'll be 5 chapters. Kind of consistent with this time around. Right? Mm-hmm. Starting out with chapter 4. Now, we left off last time. Triss was coming home from her abnegation test. Aptitude test. I always do that. She's coming home from her aptitude test. And so she's coming home now and to open up the chapter. And she's alone. So when Caleb gets home, he's starts to ask her all these questions about her test results and why she came home alone. And she's like, dude, back off. I can't tell you. It's a little interesting for Caleb. You know, the abnegation, they don't indulge in their own curiosities. It's, you know, obviously it's indulgent for them. And it's Caleb, who's this, you know, holier than thou abnegation brother of hers, is asking her all these questions. She thinks it's a little weird for him. It's a little out of character. But other than that, not a lot happened. I will say, I was a little surprised. They do have that moment when they're having dinner and Papa Pryor is telling the story about how the erudite wrote an article over how a friend of Triss's dad saying that he beat his son and that that's why his son transferred out of abnegation. And she specifically says that the son transferred to Dauntless. Now, I did not pick up on this the first time around, Shuri. What about you? Because I thought that was crazy. You know, last time you had said that Veronica Roth throws this whole fence thing in the first chapter, and you were surprised by that. This is my moment to say that, because I was wowed by her. She like, introduces everything in early. It's just crazy.
As soon as they introduced a character that was going into Dauntless, I knew that the book was about her going into Dauntless. I knew he was going to be important. I didn't know who he was going to be for, but I knew he was going to be very important. And I read a couple more pages, and I got really, I couldn't focus anymore. I'm that type of person. I have to know as soon as I start thinking about it. I thought maybe it was either Eric or maybe it was for, and I couldn't decide, so I Googled it, and I found out. Like, as soon as Eric was introduced.
You cheater.
I had to know. So yeah, I knew pretty much that it was.
My goodness. Yeah, I definitely didn't catch on to that. I was just curious if you did or not. But I can be kind of slow with those sometimes. But that's basically chapter 4. Moving on in chapter 5, we have the choosing day.
During the ceremony, they have to cut their hands with a knife and drip blood over their factions. And their factions are represented with elements. Some of the elements, rock.
That's okay. Some of the elements they have are rocks for abnegation. They have water, a bowl of water for erudite, a clear glass for candor, dirt for amity, and hot coals for dauntless. And you made a comment last night. The coals are, in fact, like, lit. They're hot.
They're hot.
They're hot coals. Right.
Because the word sizzling blood over coals. So they're definitely sizzling, hot somehow. And coals are usually hot anyway.
That's still a weird imagery. Her blood is sizzling, like she's cooking her blood.
So Philip, her brother, chooses before her, and he goes on stage, and he surprises everybody by choosing Erudite.
Gosh.
He thought for sure he was going to choose Abnegation, and then when he chooses, everybody starts talking in the crowd, and because it's like betrayal to choose something other than Abnegation.
Especially Erudite, of all things. He could have chosen Amity or Can, but no, he had to choose, like, his enemy faction. Poor Papa Pryor. I feel bad for her dad and her family.
So Triss feels like, okay, now I have to stay in Abnegation for my parents. I can do it. I'm selfless enough. But then she goes up there and she chooses Dauntless anyways because she is selfish. She is brave.
She does. That's actually a quote from Mimic from the book, isn't it? Like the last line of the chapter.
Yeah, it is.
I am selfish. I am brave. But yeah, she chose Dauntless and that is where that chapter ends. Moving on, chapter 6. You know, now she's Dauntless. She's no longer Abnegation. She's sitting with them. She has chosen faction over blood. And they all of a sudden, you know, after the ceremony's over, they start running. And it occurs to her that they're running for the fun of it. That's what the Dauntless do.
This is why I can never be Dauntless, definitely. They run for fun.
They run for fun. They run for the adrenaline and for... You know, they want to be brave and dangerous and edgy, and that's what they do. But there's some things she's got to do before she can actually go to the Dauntless compound. And it consists of her running onto a moving train. She's got to jump off of that moving train onto a building, and then, or a rooftop, not just like into a building, but onto a rooftop. And then she's got to jump off the rooftop. Lord knows how high it is. Into midair because they can't see the ground. That's how high the building is.
And before you get on into the rooftop jump and everything, I just have to say I love this part of the book. It's so transitional from Abnegation to Dauntless because she set up the story in Abnegation world and she told you everything about there, and then she creates this Dauntless world and everything's black and everything's adrenaline.
New and different, and
it's great. I love the imagery she does here. The whole chapter's fabulous.
It's great. It's basically where the story picks up. That's why it's such a big chapter for us.
From here, it's like, you know, the story starts out a little slow because you have to create characters and set up a story and set up a plot line. But now, from here on out, it's just hit the ground running.
But before she jumps off the building and everything, you know, in the process, somebody helps her onto the train, and it is, in fact, Christina. Christina helps her onto the train, and as they're jumping off the train onto the roof, she actually holds Christina's hand. So they become instant friends that way, and I'm a Christina fan, what can I say? I love her. So she develops that friendship there, but it, like I said, you know, it's a really high rooftop. Nobody really wants to be the first to jump off the roof, you know, whether you're a transfer or a Dauntless-born kid. And Triss is the only Abnegation initiate on top of the roof with them. So she kind of builds up the courage, and she grits her teeth, and she steps to the edge first.
I mean, she's being teased, and it kind of, like, it ignites her fire.
It does. She actually scraped her elbow or something, and so she lifts her shirt to look at it, and one of the guys is like, ooh, a stiff is showing some skin, and she's like, I am not a stiff anymore. You better back up. And so she takes off her jacket and throws it at him, and she's like, watch me jump off this building. But she did. She's the first one. And she jumps and she's flying through the air and catches herself in a net. But I think it's funny how, you know, everyone was all nervous. But once she hits the net, she's like laughing from the adrenaline. But she falls into the net and... A guy helps her out of the net, right? And he asks her what her name is. Kind of a pivotal point. This is where Beatrice chooses her new name with her new faction and her new life. She says, my name's Triss. And the boy, whom she learns is called Four... He announces her as the first jumper into the entire Dauntless compound, and they go wild. They go crazy. They're cheering for her. It's a great ending moment for this chapter.
So, Four ends up being the trainer for all the transfer initiates, and soon he discovers he's very soft and serious, and they're having dinner later, and Christina jokes about Triss and how she's never had a hamburger before because they don't indulge themselves in good food, and Triss is like, yeah, I love food.
I love that joke. She's just like, yeah. And, you know, Four smirks here. I think that's adorable.
So then we meet Eric, who's the other Dauntless leader, but there's, like, a ton of tension there. You can totally Eric.
Not sexual tension, just regular normal tension.
You know, unless you put those gay goggles on and you can like ship anything. And you can,
like, of course, ship there's gonna be some fan fiction over that.
So Four explains that they'll go through three stages of initiation in order to graduate the Dauntless faction. You have to rank top 10 out of all of the Dauntless initiates or you'll be factionless. And later we found out it's not just 10.
Yeah, it's top 6, right? Because they have, I guess, that last initiation stage when they go through the fear landscape. There are 10 initiates for that. And then they'll rank them in order of 1 to 10 and the top 6 make it.
Mm-hmm. And that quote, you know, they say, he says, you choose us, now we have to choose you. It's
so ominous. So then we get started on the first day of training in Chapter 8. And he says, the first thing you'll learn today is to learn how to shoot a gun. It takes her a couple of tries to get it, but she finally gets it and she hits her target. Later, she's having lunch with Christina, Al, another initiate, and Will. And there's this funny moment when Tris sees two people kissing in public at, like, the lunch table. And she's disgusted by it. And her friends joke with her, and they're like, your abnegation is showing. And they tell her that kissing is actually pretty normal in public. And they have, it's a really funny moment because, you know, she's the stiff. She's the boring, stiff, uptight abnegation. And she still can't shake that natural instinct to be selfless and reserved. But I thought that was really funny. After lunch, though, Four teaches them the technique of fighting. And this is really challenging for Tris because she's such a small person. You know, she's short and she's thin. But Four helps her with her frame.
Aww.
And, you know, so he's trying to, like, position her and keep her tense or whatever. And Tris catches her breath at his touch. Note the love interest right here, people.
Try not to ship it. I dare you to read the book and try not to ship it.
He's that dangerous, quiet, authoritative figure for her, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. And definitely in the movie, they, like, got his voice deep and protective and strong, and I just think, oh my gosh, it's perfect. Like, he plays it perfectly. Definitely.
Yeah, he's gonna do a great job. Al, one of her friends, he says he wants to get a tattoo. So Christina dresses Tris up with some makeup and a black dress, and they go to the tattoo parlor where Tris sees Tori again. Now, Tori was the woman who ran her aptitude test and told her that she was divergent, but everyone's getting these tattoos, and Tris decides that she wants to get one, too. So she gets three sparrows going down her neckline, and they make a pathway to her heart. They represent the three family members that she left behind in her old faction. Now, we know that Tris was having problems with trying to get rid of the abnegation instinct, but she puts this tattoo of her family, you know, on her heart, and I think it's to symbolize that she wants to keep them close. I don't think, because she's divergent, I don't think she wants to forget about it, right?
I was about to say, she's divergent, she is all three, and that's what the book is trying to make her just one, and you can't just be selfless all the time, and you can't just be fearless all the time, and you can't just be working towards knowledge all the time. I think that's her internal struggle, is because she's all three, she can't just let completely go of one, and this her getting the tattoos is kind of symbolizing, well, she didn't have to be just one. It's like her rebellion, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help her along the way, though, later in the books, using that selfless part of her to be able to, you know, do everything she's got to do later. So that concludes chapter by chapter. Like you said, next time we're going to do chapters 9 through 13.
9 through 13, meaning read through 13, but not 14.
And then?
It's Mad Lib time.
Oh my goodness. Nervous about this.
Okay, so I took a paragraph from the Divergent book. It's something we've already covered, and I think it's a very important paragraph.
So the Mad Libs is where you have a preset paragraph, and you tell me to insert some type of noun or verb or whatever, right? And I have to give you, but I don't know what the paragraph says. It'll be interesting.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
I need a body part, Stephanie.
Okay, I'm gonna go with nose.
Okay. I need a noun, Stephanie.
Let's go with book. Divergent's a great book. You use that, right?
All right. I need a verb.
A verb. Let's go with... Does it matter if I make it dirty, Sherry? You know what? Never mind. I'm just going to tell you. Thrust.
Okay.
It's the only dirty one I'm going to pick and put there, I promise, though. Okay?
Okay. I need a number.
Number 3.
Okay. I need a verb.
Another verb. about skip. People skip, right?
Okay, yeah. All right, a body part?
Body part. Let's do thumb.
All right. A noun?
Another noun. Not, is another like an object, or can I do a person?
You can do an object.
Another object. Cup. That's my answer.
An adjective?
Adjective. Ugly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Steph.
Let's do ugly.
Okay. I need the same body part you said before, noses, and then another body part after that.
Another body part. Let's go with your butt.
Okay. And another body part. Okay, there's a ton of body parts here. You should just understand, it's just the paragraph I picked. It's not like I'm trying to make this weird.
You are trying to make this weird. We all know that.
Another body part.
How about your forehead? Okay. This is going to be a really weird Mad Lib story. I'm confused.
Okay. Another body part.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do foot.
And I'm going to change it to feet because it needs to be plural. Okay. One last verb.
Another verb. Push. Push is my verb. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. And a color.
Color. Ooh, I like yellow. Yellow's a pretty color.
Okay.
I'm an Amity. What can I say?
Me too. So I have the Mad Libs ready.
Okay. I'm ready for you to read it. Does it sound really weird?
I'm going to read you the time, the first time that we are introduced to four.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Are you ready for this? No, you can't laugh or else it'll be too hard to hear, okay?
Okay, I'll put my hands over my mouth and I'll muffle. It's your time to shine. Go ahead.
I see a few noses stretching out to me at the edge of the book. So I thrust at the third nose I see, I can reach, and I pull myself across. I skip off, and I would have fallen thumb first onto a wooden cup if he had not caught me. He is the ugly man attached to the noses I grabbed. He has a spare upper butt and some full upper forehead. Sorry, it's so funny.
I'm trying not to laugh so hard. Okay, keep going. So he's got a full upper forehead.
His feet are so deep set that his eyelashes push the skin under his eyebrows. And his feet are a dark yellow color. A dreaming, sleeping, waiting color.
Oh my goodness. I just made for the ugliest, goofy-looking person in the world.
The Mad Libs for the first time we get to meet four.
Oh my goodness. Poor four. I'm sorry, man. I ruined you. Yellow feet?
Well, they're supposed to be blue eyes, but we changed some of the words.
No. I'm just worried. That's kind of I'm worried about his health, because if your skin's turning yellow, that could mean serious health issues.
I like that she thrusts at the third nose she can reach. What does that even...
What is it that the noses are at the edge of the book? In the wooden cup? Oh my goodness.
Okay.
That was definitely interesting. So that's probably the scene where she gets off the net, obviously, and meets Wolf for the first time.
Yeah, she gets off the net.
Wow.
Okay, so we're going to do theories for Allegiant now. Allegiant comes out, of course, October 22nd. So we're going to try to get some theories in there before we do an episode about Allegiant after it comes out. Just what we think will happen and what we want to happen and who we think might die, who we don't want to die. Obviously, we don't want our main characters
ships.
To die.
Oh my goodness.
Ships, any ships that become completely, totally canon, any ships that sink, just things like that. So
our question for this week is, what do you think will happen to Allegiant? Versus what do we want to happen?
Okay. What I want to happen, I want them, and I think it will happen. I want them to tell us what's behind the wall. How many other people are out
there? The fence?
Behind the fence. How many other people are out there? Okay. How many, if they're the only people left? If there's other people creating other societies out there, I want those questions to be answered, and I think they will.
I think they will. Okay. And anything else that you hope to happen later?
Now, our star... she's obviously Divergent. She's Dauntless, Abnegation, and Erudite. I want them to explore more of her Erudite side. I want her to go with Caleb, maybe, and go with him over there. Because they they showed us her abnegation side. They showed us her dauntless side, obviously. I want them to explore a little more into her other side. She is all three. And I just don't think they've covered much of the other one. I think it's coming.
Alrighty.
What about you?
Well, I had to hold my tongue when you said Caleb, because he's my biggest concern for the next book. Okay, so spoilers, people. Our theories are completely spoilers. So if you haven't read them, the second book, I apologize. But, you know, Caleb becomes sort of a traitor. I mean, not in a, he moved to Ariadne, but he literally is a traitor to Triss. He turns her in the second book. And so, you know, they have this moment where they redeemed Peter a little bit. Do you remember that? When he helps them escape Ariadne later? And so, you know, obviously we hate Peter, but then he kind of redeems himself a little bit. He has this crazy mindset, but Peter, okay, whatever. By the end of Insurgent, I was all for Peter and I hated Caleb. Absolutely. Couldn't stand him. What the hey? The dude was a jerk. I can't even talk about him. So I'm very interested to see what will happen to him.
I think he's going to have a redemption. I don't think he's bad. If anything, they always say you put faction before blood. I think Caleb's one of those people that's going to put blood before faction. I just think he has to get there first.
You think?
Mm-hmm. I definitely have faith and hope in him.
Here, okay, and I also had another question as I was going through when we did the chapter by chapter. I thought about this. Now, you know Triss is divergent because her mom is divergent.
Uh-huh.
That's why her mom didn't freak out so much at her choosing ceremony. You know, she was very calm and everything throughout the whole thing. And Caleb's dad is actually from Ariadne originally. Which is
right.
Weird because, you know. But here's my question. Do you think Caleb could be divergent?
Okay, that's a very good question. And I'm going to answer it with this.
Okay.
Everybody is divergent.
You think everybody is?
I think that what the government has done is push into their brain that they can only be one thing.
Okay.
And I think that these people that are divergent are the people that understand that the government can't tell them who to be and can't put them in a box. And I think everybody's divergent, they just don't know they are because they're being so controlled by the government. That's what I truly, honestly think. So yes, I do think Caleb's divergent. I think Four's divergent. I think everybody is divergent. They're just not there because they're under the impression that they can only be one thing and they have to be true to that one thing.
So you think once given the option, they probably will grow into divergent?
Right. I think, I mean, because we can all be fearless at some times. We can all be selfless at times. And I think if we had a government telling us that we can only be one thing, it would be problematic. And we would get into our heads we could only be one thing. And then we would be in a suppressed society like they live in. And I just think that those divergent people are people breaking out of it first.
Hmm. Okay, so I hear what you're saying. You're thinking that everybody will kind of grow into that divergent state eventually.
I think what rebellion breaks down the government, mm-hmm. people will understand and they can start to see differently.
I guess I was leaning towards if Caleb was originally divergent before. And I think it could go either way. On one hand, he's more erudite and I think he has that ability to know that he can't just say that he's divergent, but at the same time, if he was, I don't think he would have turned Triss in the way he did. So it's difficult for me to think. I think it's a possibility, but I don't know. I don't think he would be, though. I think he tapped into his father's genes or his father's way of life. And because it's interesting to think that Triss's mom was from Dauntless and Triss's dad was from Erudite, and both of their kids went off into the two factions. So it kind of leads you to believe that there's some type of genetic preference to which faction you'd want to choose. Like, why didn't they choose Amity or Candor, you know?
Well, we have two very different personal opinions, and we will see who is more correct or less wrong when Allegiant comes out. But that's a very good theory, too.
So those are our theories for this week. We'll have a different question next time, and we will continue with those theories next episode, right?
Mm-hmm. So book recommendations, it's my favorite part of the segment. It's where we go through and we tell you some books to read if you've read The Divergent and you enjoyed The Divergent series. We've read these books, and we are giving you our honest opinion on them. Stephanie, do you have a book recommendation?
I do. I am going to have to go on a whim as far as description goes, but I do have a recommendation. I recommend Legend by Marie Lu. And it's a great series, you guys. It's also a trilogy. It's also dystopian. It's a lot like Divergent in that there's a lot of action and there's a lot of defying your preconceived society and trying to step out of that boundary. Whew, it's a really good book. Basically, it goes in the perspective of two people between June and Day, our two, you know, our guy and our girl. Girl and guy. The girl is June and the guy is Day. But it goes into the two POVs, so we get to switch off of perspectives throughout the entire book.
Which, wait, can I just say, I think it's really important that they did two different point of views, because when you're reading the first point of view, you think, okay, this is the good person, not the bad person. And then when you're reading the other person, you're like, oh no, this is the good person, and not the bad person. So I think it really helps that you have those two point of views, because if you look at it one from one side, one person could be considered good or bad, and the other person could be considered good versus bad.
And the truth is that they're both good, and they're good together. So basically, the United States has gone into a war. Dystopian, go figure. But June is being trained as this very smart, very high intelligent soldier on one side of the war. And then there's this rebel, kind of like a street cat.
Right.
Other.
He's the Aladdin of the dystopian world.
He kind of is. I mean, he's not necessarily on the other side of the rebellion, but he's living in the world where he's not for them anyway. So June is assigned to go and find Day and bring him into the authorities, because she's young and she's around the same age as him. So they think that she'll have a better chance of doing that. And because he's all about the streets, she goes undercover as sort of like a homeless street urchin trying to find him. And she finally meets him, only there's a little bit of a problem with her bringing him
sexual
in.
Sexual tension stuff. It's called sexual tension.
It's called sexual tension. Okay. Yeah, so basically they're on enemy side. Kind of reminds you of this little Romeo and Juliet thing going on. You know, they're not supposed to like each other. They learn to like each other. They're on these opposite ends. It's not the same thing, guys, though. Don't take that. It's just in that one portion of it. It's very interesting, though, seeing her trying to dress up as a homeless person. Because, you know, she's a soldier and she's this rich person. And so she tries to dress herself down and she goes to these fights and tries to eat out of cans and... It's very interesting.
It's such a good book, guys. What a great book recommendation. I have to say, I know it's Stephanie's book recommendation, but it's one of my top 10 favorite books. Just that, and
it's really
the third
good.
One's coming out pretty soon, and it's a trilogy, so it's like the ending closure. And I'm sure Stephanie and I are going to talk about it when it comes out, just a little bit.
We really will. I think it'll be wise for us to pick our favorite book recommendations, and then eventually, as the podcast grows, we can set aside episodes to speak mainly on our favorite book fandoms that we love, you know? But yeah, the third book comes out at the beginning of October, guys. So you have plenty of time to go read Legend. You have plenty of time to go read the second book called Prodigy.
Oh, it's so good, guys. I'm not even kidding. You have to read it. Okay.
It's really good. Okay, what's your recommendation, Tree?
My recommendation is one of my favorite books. I know I just said Legend was one of my top 10. This one's in my top 5. I don't think I could rank my top 5, but Cinder is in it. So this.
You took Cinder. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Cinder.
Go ahead. Explain
Cinder by Marissa Meyer is one of my favorite books. It's Marissa Meyer's first novel. It's a Cinderella story, which, you know, gets me every time. Oh my gosh, I love Cinderella stories. But this one has a twist. This one, Cinder is portrayed by a cyborg instead of a maid. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's dystopian again. It's my favorite genre.
Okay, no, I have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with people calling Cinder dystopian, because it's about a cyborg and they're robots. Clearly, I would think it's sci-fi.
It is sci-fi.
So can sci-fi and dystopian be considered the same genre? I've always had this problem.
Lay down some things about dystopian. Dystopian is the opposite of utopian, where there's perfect government. This one has a fallen government. That's what dystopian means. So if you think about the Lunars, which is one of the...
They're aliens.
Which are...
Aliens, Shuri!
They're the alien and Cinder are the corrupted government, and so is Prince Kai. He's in the government, and it's corrupted. And it's not him corrupting it, it's the Lunars corrupting him within the government, and it still is considered dystopian because of the corruption in the government.
Still say it's more sci-fi.
It is sci-fi. It's dystopian. It's a futuristic dystopian sci-fi novel starring... Okay, so Cinder is a cyborg instead of a maid because cyborgs are looked down upon instead of as where maids are now, cyborgs are in the future. And
right, they're lower class.
They're the lower class because they're not fully human and there's something wrong with them.
For people who can't clarify, Shiri, because you had explained this to me one time too, a cyborg is not a robot, right? A cyborg means you have
robot a cyborg part. Means you're half robot. There's something electronic within you. It's not like a pacemaker, but something computeristic. Her whole arm.
My grandfather's a cyborg.
He's not a pacemaker.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so
just because some people don't know, people can't. Like I didn't know for a long time. Okay, anyway, continue. Sorry.
Forgot where I was. So it follows her story. It very loosely follows the story of Cinderella. There's a prince, of course, Prince Kai, and he's the best. And you know the Cinderella story, so I'm not going to tell you much about the ball and stuff, but there's just, like, it follows her story. So you get to see a cyborg go through Cinderella's tale, and it's just beautiful because I love fairy tales. And this one is, like, an action, dystopian, futuristic fairy tale.
Fairy tale. It's a science fiction fairy tale.
Beautiful thing to write. The author, Marissa Meyer, she wrote a sequel called Scarlet, and it follows the story of Little Red Riding Hood, and their stories kind of merge in there. So you have, and then the next one is called Press, and it follows the story of Rapunzel, and it's not out yet. And then the last one's called Winter, I think, which follows the story of Snow White, and that one actually takes place on the moon, and those coming out in the next 2 years. And if you have time, you have to read Cinder. If so far it sounded like something to like, because you'll love it. Oh my gosh, you'll so love it.
Those are our book recommendations. We will record again in the next couple of weeks and check out the website, guys, because we post stuff on there all the time. I try to keep up with as much of the news as possible.
www.factionfandom.com. Our email address is factionfandompodcast@gmail.com, and we have a Tumblr.
A Tumblr!
Our faction is fandom.com. I run the Tumblr. I post GIFs I come across, and then also links to our podcast will be on there. But, I mean, follow us if you want to see some Divergent GIFs, because, you know, there's a lot of great artists on Tumblr.
Check that out, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Sheree.
Hi.
Bye.
Hey, guys, and welcome to Back to Faction Fandom, where we covered the Divergent series by Veronica Roth. I'm your host, Stephanie's laughing at me. Oh my god.
I'm not laughing at you, I promise. I'm not laughing, I'm just giddy because you sound so professional.
Oh my god, what am I supposed to sound like? You're going to have to do
this. You sound great. Do you want to do last names? No, you sound great. I love the way you sound, so it was wonderful.
What am I supposed to sound like?
No, you sound great.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Faction Fandom, where we cover the Divergent book series. The Divergent book series? Is it Divergent book series? We cover the Divergent series by Veronica Roth. I'm your host, Sheree, and this is where you say your name, Stephanie.
You said Veronica Roth. I'm crying.
It's a soup made up of three different,
I'm scared.
Five different ingredients.
Serious face.
Okay. You know you can't do this now, right? You understand?
Just start with, I'm your host, Sheree.
Okay. I'm going to do this.
And, oh my gosh, Sheree, I can't even, I'm trying to remember this correctly. It goes into this big twist, guys. Where?
No, you can't give away the twist.
Why can't I give away the twist?
No, you cannot give away the twist.
Okay, well, here's what the premise is. June has been assigned to go find Day because he's this rebellious person. He's causing all of this mischief for their city. So she hunts him down trying to find him, and eventually figures out that.
Oh no! You cannot say that.
Why can't I?
You cannot say that. You cannot say that.
It's the big twist.
No, no, no.
People have to read it to find a twist.
No, no, no. You cannot say
that. How would you
say that? Do not say that, Stephanie, please.
I'm fixing to go into Goodreads and just read the back of the book. I'll just grab my book and read the back of the book.
No, that's so lame because they can do that online. They're listening to us to get a different perspective.
Sheree, I'm not going to lie. I think
I might like Cinder more
than Stephanie, I wouldn't put it on the podcast, but I do too.